High school teams across the Upper Cumberland battling their conference opponents, but also battling Mother Nature and battling sickness in a lot of cases as we reach mid-February on the high school sports schedule. Welcome to Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive on a chilly but sunny Saturday morning. We're glad you're with us as we talk to coaches and players all across the Upper Cumberland on the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Jackson County Lady Blue Devils are in the house this morning. We'll visit with them in just a few minutes, plus get you caught up on everything that has happened over the last 24 hours across Upper Cumberland high school basketball. Start with the girls' scoreboard from last night. Clay County gets the win over Red Boiling Springs, 52-44. Riley Burchett finished with 14 for the Lady Bulldogs. Clark Grange goes to 25-3. They beat Gordonsville, 66-28. Kaylee Monday finished with 14 points last night for the Lady Buffaloes. It was Upperman improving to 23-3. Lady Bees beat DeKalb County, 61-39. Reagan Hurst had 19 for Upperman. Katie Farrell was 16 for DeKalb County. Pickett County now 24-2 on the campaign as they beat Jackson County 64-22. Jordan Gillies finished with 18 points on the night. Livingston Academy wins over Watertown 50-43. The final score, Keaton Webb finishes with 16 for Livingston Academy. A couple of games canceled because of sickness. That includes Van Buren County and Grundy County. That game has not yet been rescheduled. Cookeville and Stone Memorial will play Monday night in Cookeville. White County and Cumberland County canceled last night. They'll reschedule that game later. Monterey and Trousdale County, that game will be played Thursday, February 13th. The Ray County-Warren County game moved to Saturday because of weather today. Boys schedule from last night. Clay County now 23-2. They beat Red Boiling Springs 65-49 thanks to 24 points from Grant Strong. Three overtimes. Gordonsville wins over Clark Grange 76-70. It was Nate Hall with 14 points in a losing cause for Clark Grange. Upperman gets the win over DeKalb County. Final score 78-48 as Colin Gore scores 20 points for the Bees. Jackson County gets the win. The upset over Pickett County last night, 75-69 in overtime. Zach Amonette, 24 points in a losing effort for Pickett County. Another overtime. A lot of overtime games last night. Livingston Academy wins over Watertown. Took two overtimes for the Wildcats to get that done. 69-66. Matthew Sales finished with 32 points for the Livingston Wildcats. York Institute gets the win. 18-7 now on the campaign. They beat Macon County 67-43. Roger Meadows finished with 23 points for York Institute. Those Dragons right now in the middle of a two-game road trip, but for head coach Russell Tays, they're trying to get back to Jamestown where they have such a home court advantage. They'll get to do that Thursday night.
I tell you, we've got a great fan base. We've got a great community we live in. They love their basketball and always have. You know, I mean, I was coaching here in the 90s, and it's not much different now than it was then. You know, we always, you know, when we travel, we always take a lot of our fans with us. And when we have a big game like the Upperman game, you know, they come out in droves and pack the gym for us. And, you know, it's really an advantage for us when we play at home because, you know, we just have a really good fan base and they're very supportive. And it's a huge factor to our guys and just motivating them to play harder They, you know, it really helped us a lot the other night against Upperman. You know, we made a really good run at them late. We just couldn't get a shot or two to go down, and they were able to make a couple big shots. So, but the fans, our crowds are always strong, and that's one of the big advantages that we have.
What's been the message of your team at this point in the season when it kind of feels like everything is it's moving slowly, it's a grind, you've got school that's in full swing, you've got practice?
Yeah, that's always something I think this time of year that every team has to deal with. It does become a grind, and what we try to focus on is just where we want to finish at, what we want to accomplish, and we try to look at it as one game at a time, and try to, you know, look for ways to keep our kids motivated and keep them up and keep them mentally focused on what we got to do and. and make sure we got the kind of effort we have to have. So, you know, we are in control of where we finish, and you know, we have four games remaining in the regular season, and all four of these are going to be very important. And just like I tell them before, you know, we can't afford to come in and not be mentally focused, mentally ready, you know, no matter who it is we're playing, because, you know, by this point, you know, teams are really kind of they're making their move to become, you know, to be a better team and are playing better, or teams have kind of, you know, in some cases maybe bellied up, you know, because this is a hard part of the year, and you know, we don't want to be one of those teams that gets lax in our effort and in our focus, and we just got to try to keep a good positive attitude and just keep looking at them one at a time and just keep working and just keep them moving in the right direction.
Your seniors have been key cogs of your team so far this year, and you've told me before the season, you've told me all during it about how important Roger and Noah would be to this team's success. What is it that makes them the perfect leaders for this team?
Well, they're both very talented, they're very, very skilled. They've got good size. You know, they've got the ability that you really need in your leaders. You know, they've got to be guys that you can kind of turn to in a crunch, and when you need a big play or a big basket, they have to be willing to step up. And both of them have really grown and matured, and I think they really they embrace that role. And both of them in big games, I mean, they're going to be looking for their shots and trying to be that leader that we have to have with some of the younger guys we're having to play with them. And they've just, like I said, they're both very mature and they're seasoned. They've got a lot of experience under their belt, and they've been here before and done that. And they have an idea of what it's going to take for us going down the stretch right here in order for us to, finish this thing out the way we want to finish it, you know. So they've done an excellent job of that, and our younger guys have responded well to them and look up to them to be those leaders that we need. So they're just huge cogs in what we're about. And what we find out a lot of times is, you know, they're going to draw a lot of attention defensively from another team, you know. They're able to, even though they're getting a lot of attention and a lot of extra defensive adjustments made toward them, they do a good job of finding ways to get points and finding open teammates and things like that. So just very pleased with Noah and Roger as far as their leadership goes.
York a winner over Macon County last night. Head coach Russell Tays. Where we gather to talk high school sports every Saturday morning, Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive, Rock 93.7. Glad you're along this Saturday with the Jackson County Lady Blue Devils in the house here at Chick-fil-A, led by head coach Jim Brown. I know the record is not what you want, coach, but first of all, glad you're here. Are you getting better every week?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, thank you for having us, and thank you for everything you're doing for high school sports in Upper Cumberland. But we are much better than what we were last year. Last year we played 25 games and were competitive in four of them and, you know, didn't win any. And this year we've been fortunate enough to win three games and probably had seven or eight other games that, you know, went down to the wire. Even in some of the games against, some of the better competition in this area, we look at it, we've been able to win some quarters throughout the game. So we've just been looking for positives like that. But we do have a much better team than what we had last year.
Where do you see yourself getting better specifically?
Much better with the ball. We still struggle at times and turn it over a little too much. And much better defensively. We got a team that's matured a little bit. Last year we didn't have any seniors. This year just one, but big junior class and got some help from our incoming freshman, and we're definitely more solid on the defensive end.
When you don't have seniors, upperclassmen, is Does that put more of a challenge on you to be the leader, or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, because, you know, when you don't have seniors, the coach has to teach absolutely everything. You know, a lot of times when you have those older players, you know, they can catch the younger ones off to the side and teach them things as you go. And when they're just not there, then it puts everything on the coach, and it is a bigger challenge. And, you know, just a lot of little things sometimes you take for granted, you can't, and you have to make sure you go over that and teach it.
That's the interesting thing about basketball and all sports to some degree, but I think basketball in particular, it's a lot of little things that combine to get the outcomes that you want.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, some of those little things will come back to bite you and you know, cause you to lose games, you know, whether it's just a box out on a free throw lane or, you know, just a little bit of execution on an inbound play, or just so many small things to it.
Jackson County Coach Jim Brown, is it hard to keep their spirits up?
You know, I thought we struggled that last year. This year, not so much. Now, you know, we've had a couple of hard stretches. You know, we've caught, you know, you know, I feel like our leagues, you've kind of got an upper division of Clark Range, Clay, and Pickett, and Red Boiling, and then there's us and Trousdale and Gordonsville and Monterey kind of on the bottom end. But when we were hitting a lot of those upper teams just boom, boom, boom right in a row, that was a struggle. But other than that, it's been a fun bunch of coaches this year.
They want it. They want to get better.
Oh, absolutely. They do, and it matters to them. You see it in their faces.
What is the challenge of coaching high school basketball today versus when you started? Is there a different challenge?
There is just the battle for time to get the players to work on their game. You know, years ago, you know, maybe they'd go in and watch TV or hang out at the pool or go to the lake or something. But now there's that constant, you know, whether it's YouTube or Netflix or, you know, whatever they're doing on their social media. I mean, you know, a lot of times they'd rather do that than work on their game. And I've just seen a drop in the skill level, I think, because of that.
Is the work in the summer really where you get things improved and build skills?
Yeah, for an individual, you're off time when the season ends, spring, maybe even through the fall before you start practicing again, is the time to get better individually. I mean, Tito Sable just has us strapped time-wise in what we can do with them. And if a player doesn't put in the time on their own, it's really, really hard for them to get good at it.
A lot of fans may not realize that, but there are limits to how much time you can work with players.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, as a team, once school starts, you're looking at the 1st of November. You get about 2.5-3 weeks before your first game to practice until the end of the season. And then really not much you can do until the summer. Now, there's no limitations on the summer, but, you know, then you got to decide, you know, are you going to be that coach that takes a high school kid's entire summer away from them and their family, or – you know, so we try to balance, you know, giving them a lot of opportunities that are voluntary instead of making them do it. But then, you know, you got to compete with other sports at that time too, because, you know, if it's a boy, they're in football practice at time, and a lot of the girls are playing volleyball then, and you just don't want to shove it at them 24/7.
Is there also that risk, I guess, of just kind of wearing them out and tiring them of the game?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, definitely. I think that's why you've got to make some of those times voluntary. And, you know, they get tired of the game and they get tired of me. So, you know, I try to separate. And, you know, especially preseason, you know, we do some things, but, you know, I try not to be near as hard on them at that kind of stuff as what I am the basketball.
I wonder, too, that time that you talk about and all the competition, it used to be that the high school basketball player, when he or she wasn't practicing or playing a game, they were at home practicing or shooting ball in the backyard. Do you still see as much of that, in your opinion?
No, I really don't think so. I think they've got too many times for you know, other stuff that they can do. And, you know, and a lot of time when they are, it's just that
you know, picking up a ball and throwing some shots up rather than actually being focused and working on their game. So, you know, I think the number of kids that I have that truly put work in needs to has dropped over time. I mean, you used to, if you get four or five kids that did that, and then you just got some others that were willing to do what you ask them to do, I mean, you could have a heck of a team, and now we're just not seeing that.
Lady Blue Devils of Jackson County are at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive this Saturday morning, led by head coach Jim Brown. Why did you ever get into coaching?
Wow, you know, I started out in engineering, changed over into accounting, and I always knew that I loved basketball and wanted to coach, but I knew I wasn't going to make much money at it. So, you know, I didn't want to live that life. But the big thing was principal, Miss Angie Smith, was at the middle school in Gainesboro, and their middle school coach, Lakeland Barham, got the flu. And she asked me to come down and coach the team for the last two or three games while he was out. And I had so much fun doing that. As soon as that was over, I went back and changed my major to education, and that's the path I've been on ever since.
What was it that was fun?
Just teaching the kids, and I guess when you actually see them making a difference of, hey, you know, that they picked up on that, and that actually worked, and you know, getting to see them respond, and so it's I'm thankful all that worked out that way, because I've had a great career.
Isn't it just an amazing feeling when you're putting a concept in and you're practicing it, and then in a game it works?
Yeah, I've got when we're practicing doing that, you know, I kind of copy off the, I think it's old Toyota commercial, "Oh, what a feeling," and I'll kind of yell that out of practice. But I mean, it is that the way it feels when you finally see all those parts work together and do what you're trying to get done.
Who'd you bring along with you this morning?
I've got one of my seniors, or my one senior, and three of my juniors. I've got junior Nikki Ragland, or senior Abigail Poston, junior Erica Davidson, and junior Lily Chaffin this morning.
So, Abigail, let's start with you. What, the only senior, what's it like being, I mean, do you feel additional responsibility because you're the only one?
I feel like leadership has a big role, but I also have the three juniors or all the juniors to help me, like, co-lead, and it's kind of all like a group effort, so I don't want to make the decisions on my own if it's something that somebody else doesn't like, so I make sure it's what everybody else on the team wants.
What kind of leader do you try to be?
I want to try to be the leader that can help out the other girls, but also be your friend at the same time. Like, I don't want to be too harsh and be that senior that they're like, oh, well, she was awful, I never liked her, she was so mean. I don't want to be like that. I wanted to be somebody they would remember as, she helped me out a lot, she was a really good person, a really good friend, and I'm glad she was here.
So you're not going to get up in somebody's face too much?
No.
Okay. All right. Nikki, you agree with that? Is she not get in people's face?
Yeah.
So tell me about your game, Nikki. What where have you tried to work and improve?
Well, I was hurt last year, so I had to come back and really work on my defense a lot, because I'm not that much of a scorer. And my defense, I've just tried to lock it down and be able to play defense really good.
How hard was that last year to watch and not be able to play?
It was really hard. I love playing, and I just didn't like sitting on the bench and watching. And I wanted to get out there and help my girls win.
Did you find any outlets for it? I mean, did it studying the game help you more? Did you? Is there anything that you can deal with when you're hurt like that?
I like to watch a lot when I was hurt, and just follow my favorite college teams, and then just watching our girls play, and trying to like make sure they can get through it.
Who are your favorite college teams?
I like UConn women's.
UConn women, okay. They had a tough loss earlier this week.
Yeah.
Do you learn things when you watch, like, the college game? Do you learn things that you can put into your game?
Yeah, they play as a team a lot, the girls do, and it really encouraged me to play as a team with my team.
Erica, when did you start playing basketball?
I played basketball since I was about five.
Why did you start playing? Just something that you thought would be fun? Or?
Well, yeah, but my entire family has played basketball, so it's kind of natural that I love to play basketball.
Did your family play at Jackson County?
Yes.
Is that added pressure?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How so?
They were pretty good, so hard to live up to that.
So are they always kind of gigging you and giving you the business about, now, hey, in my day, we did this?
Yes, yes.
How difficult has it been, the losing?
It's been pretty difficult, but we try and keep our confidence up and just keep playing.
Do you see this team getting better?
Yes, definitely.
How so? What areas do you see?
Well, from the beginning of our season, our turnovers have went down, and we started playing more as a team instead of just individuals, and our defense has gotten so much better.
Lily, that's something that people talk a lot about in basketball, is that you have to play together as a team. Why is that so important?
Well, we all have things that we're all good at, like personally, like individuals. So if one person is doing bad a game, another person can fill in their job, so it all evens out in the end.
What is your job on this team?
Personally, I don't see myself as a scorer. I see myself as like a rebounder on the defensive side.
What is the key to good rebounding?
Your timing.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I bet a lot of people would think that it's, you know, body and getting yourself in position. What do you mean by timing?
Well, I don't really know how to explain it, but like, I'm not as tall as like the other girls, so I have to compare myself to how, where they're standing and like where I'm going to run in at to get the ball.
Do you, can you see a lot of that in film when you're preparing for
a
team?
Yeah.
Yeah. For this team to close out on a good note, you got one regular season game left. What's important? What's important now here at the end of the season?
Back to what we were first talking about, like working as a team. I feel like that's our main goal in the end.
Do you feel like you've laid the cornerstones for where this team can start next year?
I hope so.
Yeah. Coach, it's interesting, as you talk to these ladies, I keep hearing working together as a team and learning to communicate and those things. Those are really the building blocks, aren't they, for a successful team?
Oh, they are. I mean, about both ends of the floor. I mean, whatever it is, you know, if you're trying to score offensively or whatever your scheme is on defense, I mean, everyone is involved, and they have to do their part.
Sounds like these young ladies like each other and like the game. How big an importance is that?
It's very important. You know, that they get along, that they do enjoy being around each other. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I mean, it's finished my 28th year. I mean, I've had times where they didn't like each other. But, you know, as long as they're willing to put that aside when they get on the floor, then you can still make it work.
Nikki, is it fun to be a part of this team?
Yeah, it is. I love every girl on this team, and we're all really close.
Is it kind of hard to see the end of the season already here?
Yeah, it is. It went by so fast.
What do you do without these guys when the season's over?
I don't know. We hang out a lot outside of basketball, so.
Abigail, for you, that last game, is that going to be hard?
Most definitely. I mean, last night was senior night, and so that was really hard. Crying like a big baby. But I definitely think last game will definitely hurt a lot. But I'm just glad I got to spend these 4 years with the most amazing group of girls I could ever want.
Now, I don't want to make you cry this morning, but I do want to add, what was it that made you so emotional? Was it just representing the school, the relationships you made? What was
it? It was basketball in general, and then my girls. Like, it's just a different feeling. Like, we're all just one big family, and we laugh, and it's just so much fun, and I just don't want that to go away.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys to put on your analyst hat, and Erica, we'll start with you. You guys have played your rivals in the division there. These are some of the best teams in the state. Do you see some of these teams being able to go on and maybe win a state championship?
Yeah. I definitely think Clark Range has a chance and some of the other top teams.
When you go out every night, Lily, and play this kind of competition, I mean, there's not an easy night in your league, is there?
No, there's not an easy night.
And the environments, what's it like to step into those visiting gyms like a Clark Range or like Pickett County or...
It's just so intimidating seeing all, like, the other fans of them compared to ours.
Yeah. Abigail, what's your best memory as you step away of your years playing basketball?
My best memory?
Is it something individual? Is it something as a team? First points?
Oh, goodness. I remember my freshman year, I didn't play a lot, but I did go into some of the games, and we had these big calendars, and after every game that I played and I scored, I'd go points I made on that calendar, and that was like, that's always something I've done. So I've always tried to, like, every minute that I gone in, like, every game, no matter if it was, you know, 50 seconds or, like, you know, something like that, I enjoyed every single second of it.
Coach, what has this young lady meant to your program over the course of the last couple of years?
Abigail is just so charismatic, and the other girls look up to her, and she's so uplifting to the rest of them. So she's been challenging at times, but definitely the positives have outweighed the negatives, and she's been a joy to be around.
Oh, if you could only see the eyes here at the Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. Well, you guys have one regular season game left. Isn't that hard to believe?
It is. It is. The season has flown by. But, we go up to Monterey the next Tuesday, and then we'll start the district tournament at Livingston Academy then the following week.
We appreciate you coming to Chick-fil-A today and all that you guys do to further not just high school basketball in Jackson County, but sports in general. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having us. We've enjoyed it.
Head coach Jim Brown, along with Abigail Poston, Lily Chaffin, Erica Davidson, Nikki Raglin. They are the Lady Blue Devils of Jackson County. We turn our focus to the White County Lady Warriors as the high school playbook continues, presented by our friends at Mountain Barn Builders on this Saturday morning. White County did not play last night because of the sickness issues that they're dealing with across the school system, but the Warriorettes stopped a two-game district losing streak with wins over Warren County and Cookeville. They're back at 500. Head coach Michael Dodgen says he's really focused on his seniors during this time.
Well, any time is senior leadership. You've got to have senior leadership, but you've also got to have leadership from your younger kids, too, that don't allow a funk to set in and a funk to happen. And you know, we've kind of shied away from that a little bit, and you know, we've got to just play and do what we need to do and trust what we're doing and trust the process that we're going through. And you know, you may not always come out on top, but if you can compete and play hard and play at a high level, you're going to give yourself an opportunity and a chance to win every ball game.
So one of those seniors I wanted to talk about was Julia, because it seems like every time I look at the box score and you know, every time I see y'all play in person, it seems like lately her rebounding has really kind of taken center stage in her game. I know that's nothing new for you. I know that's probably something that she's done well her whole, you know, career. But has that been just due to like better positioning, better effort? What's that been due to?
Well, a couple games ago she was the only one that would rebound for us, period. Which is a very bad issue. I think when we played Stone the other night, she had 17 of our 26 rebounds. So, you know, Julia's doing a very good job of hitting the boards, and especially on the defensive end of the floor. You know, if she's around the rim, she's been very, very good at getting the rebound and handling. And I think she's averaging 6.9 rebounds a game right now for us, which is, you know, in high school girls basketball, that's really, really good. And on any level, that's pretty good. But, you know, she just has a knack to go get it and a knack to just go get the rebound. But, you know, we just can't rely on her to get every rebound. I feel like Ray and Stone did a good job of pulling her away from the rim defensively, which kept her from being able to get a rebound early on because she was having to guard on the perimeter so much. But, you know, Julia stepped up, and Julia's given us everything that she's got every time she steps on the floor.
I think another part of her game that kind of goes overlooked, and it would be insane to me to think that it is overlooked, is that it feels like for a post player, she's a really good passer. Do you see that as well?
She does. She sees the floor really well. She does some things, you know, with us on offense. You know, obviously she wants to score and she wants to, you know, do what she can do down low, but she does see the floor well. You know, she's grown out of the second-guessing herself every time and just doing things that we need done for her in the offensive part of the game.
So the last time I saw your team in person was against Stone, and obviously, you know, that's, you know, going on almost a week later now. I think that the difference in that game versus what I've seen before after losses was that there was a real look of determination in your seniors' eyes when they came off the court. Obviously, a loss hurts, and a loss to a district rival hurts. But do you think this could also be the kind of loss that propels them and motivates them to finish the season strong moving forward?
Well, you hope so. I mean, you hope as a competitor and as someone that wants to, you know, get better every time you play, you hope that leaves a little burn inside of you. You know, it's like I talked about after the ball game, you know, I'm not going to be satisfied, and I'm never satisfied. I'm not satisfied with a win or satisfied with a loss. But you got to have a fire about yourself that you're not going to allow that to happen. You know, Stone's a very good basketball team, but for two quarters, we didn't compete. We just played. We were just there in body and just went through the motions. But, you know, I hope that it brings a fire. We get to play them again here in another week, and we'll see how much better we've gotten in that two-week span.
White County Coach Michael Dodgen. Well, speaking of seniors, Pickett County has spent this season with only two seniors on the roster, and that is a challenge for coaches. Pickett County falling to Jackson County last night in overtime. As we bring aboard Joseph Aminette, head coach of the Pickett County Boys. Coach, when you have that lack of seniors, you got to see everybody improve. Where do you feel like this team has gotten better during the course of the season?
I think the importance of them recognizing the importance of doing the little things throughout the game. When you have an inexperienced team like we've had, and you know it takes for them a little while for them to adjust to understanding how important it is to do the little things in a game that you don't get a lot of credit for, but they put you in a position to win games like they did the two games we won last week. And I think that maturity that comes with one, you need to win some. You gain a little confidence. And then when you see that those little things matter and you gain that confidence, you'll be a little more focused and willing to do those game in, night out.
And with the district tournament coming up here in the next two or three weeks, what's an area that you still need to see your team grow in to have a successful postseason run?
You know, I think the thing with us is we're not we're not the most physically overwhelming team, and with that we have to be willing to sit down and guard every possession, and like I said before, do the little things every possession, block out every possession, meet every pass, because we're not physically going to outman someone, so we're going to have to outskill them, and out hustle them, and be a little smarter than the team we're playing.
You have a handful of really close losses, and now you're starting to turn some of those close losses into wins. What do you think your kids have learned from those earlier games this year where they just weren't able to finish, and now they're able to turn it around and finish those games?
I think that it's been an unusual year. We've won a lot of close games too. You know, we beat Livingston by 1 point and 2 points. We've had a lot of close games this year that we've actually been able to win. We just lost some close ones in conference play. And, you know, a couple of those where we made some mistakes late. We missed some free throws. You know, we don't have a lot of room for error that other teams might have that have a more physical presence. I think that they've learned the importance of when an opportunity presents itself, we need to take advantage of it. We need to convert. We need to get stops. I think there's just a little more awareness of the fact that we need to make a play when we need to make one. And then the other thing of it is when we do make a bad play, I think the thing that we've grown the most this year is that we kind of get on to the next play now. We don't let one bad play turn into three bad plays. We make a bad play, we recognize it, and we try to get on to the next play. And I think that's probably the biggest difference in us being able to win a couple of close games here down the stretch.
Coach, I talked with Lance Mason on Sunday, and he talked about never really pushed your kids to play basketball, but when they decided they wanted to play, you said, all right, we're going to be serious about it. You know, I'm going to be involved. How special has it been for you to be a part of your son's playing career to this point?
You know, it's been unusual. It's not something that I ever intended on doing. I really had no intention of ever going into coaching at much of a level. You know, when they were younger, I volunteered for junior pro and some of those things that went on. But and then I volunteered at the middle school, and then we had a coaching change. We had a coach here that got an opportunity about 3 weeks before the season started to get a job with the state about 4 years ago, and it kind of left the school in a little bit of an unusual situation. I really didn't have a position. The coach left 3 weeks before the season, and 3 or 4 weeks, I don't remember exactly when, but somewhere there close before the season started. And you know, I agreed to volunteer for that 1 year, and that 1 year's turned into 4 years, it seems like. But you know, it's been good and bad. You know, coaching your own sons is a double-edged sword. I'll be honest with you, it's almost like when you coach your own sons, you'll be one of two ways. You'll either be too easy on them or too hard on them, and I feel like I've been a little bit more the latter. I've probably been harder on them at times, but I try to take times to enjoy the experience of it and enjoy the ride of it. But a lot of these kids that I'm coaching, I've been coaching them since they were in third grade through junior pro and through middle school basketball. So they're all a pretty special group for me to be able to coach, to have known these kids since they were 8, 9, 10 years old, and including my sons. It's just a special opportunity. And to coach people thing that's a little unique to me is to be able to coach people that you went to high school with their parents and you've known their families their whole life and you were friends with them, grew up with them. It makes it a little more special to me to be able to be part of the kids that I went to high school with, children's lives. So it's a unique situation that I try to take time to appreciate.
Joe Zvaminette, head coach of the Pickett County Bobcats. They will wrap up the season at Warren County Thursday night. Sickness and flooding and snow, it's all been a factor in the high school basketball schedule this week. Monterey dealing with sickness. They were not able to play Trousdale County last night. Game rescheduled for Thursday night. High school playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad you're along. Let's bring in Adam West, head coach of the Monterey boys. One of the things that Monterey is positioning itself for is tops in the region, chance to move on and get that automatic qualifying for the region. Coach, the double bye has been put in place by your conference recently. I know it's something that you've had some issues about and trying to keep that competitive edge.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's our first trip, first try to get one of those. So, I mean, obviously if we were fortunate enough to get that, then I think it'd be huge in the sense that it automatically puts you in the region and gives you an opportunity there. But I think the other thing, and I've watched some other teams play in those double bye games, boy, you really have to be able to really maintain your sharpness and through practice.
Coach, here at Monterey, you're winners of 8 straight games. What's been going well here over the past 3 weeks here on the mountain?
Defensively, we've kind of came and played, you know, more times than not, and obviously improvements there. And offensively, you know, we've just done a better job of sharing the wealth and guys making shots. And, you know, and our schedule was a lot tougher earlier on where we were on the road in some of the tougher environment. And, you know, I thought we had a lot of growth ahead of us, and we still have some growth that we could benefit from. When you guard better and you score, you know, around everybody kind of puts in their own fair share, then that's really the difference in the game. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, we've been fortunate enough to get some close wins, too, that you got to win, you know, in your conference to be successful.
Coach, this group of seniors has been the most successful group in the history of Monterey basketball. Just what has this group meant to you from the time they started until now?
Well, they're special. And, you know, we use that word. We've been fortunate to use it multiple times over their career of teams that have been here. And they were part of something that when the chapter is done for these guys at this school, there'll be a lot of guys out there kind of obviously gunning for that. But they set the bar really, really high. And, you know, a lot of these kids I've been a part of their lives for a long time. And and just been very fortunate to be a part of their lives for the last 4 years.
What will you miss the most about that time you've got to spend coaching your sons playing basketball there at Monterey?
Well, you know, a long time ago I kind of begrudged it because I really felt like it was a burden as a father and as a coach. And when I had my older one and when they first came along, and I, to be honest with you, there was nights I just like, you know, I wish somebody else had to deal with that. But you know, as I've gotten closer to this moment and with him and with my other one when he, you know, now that he's in college, and it was just, you realize the time that you had and you know what? I used to not to avoid talking about basketball outside of here because I didn't want to kind of take away from our home life. But it's really kind of increased. When I said I wasn't going to do that, it actually went the other direction. And we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, analyzing their play and analyzing film and talking about other teams. And, you know, that's probably what I'll miss when it all comes down to it, is that moment of being able to, you know, to talk about the game film with somebody that rides with me every day and, you know, I see every morning or every night. And that's kind of it's been kind of a special time there. And obviously having siblings, you know, hearing them talk when they were talking about it was nice too. But that obviously will be something we'll miss.
But Peyton also is a really special player. He's going to walk out of there with a handful of school records. Just talk about, you know, him playing. And I know it's hard, him being your son, but, you know, Monterey goes as Peyton goes.
Every team in our conference has a player that key on, you know, that you think, well, I got a key on this kid. And we're fortunate enough that we got kids around him that have been able to make shots and kind of alleviate some of that pressure off of him. So it's been good. But as far as, you know, what he has meant for this program, you know, he's a good teammate. He comes every day. He puts in his own time on work. He's in here in the gym doing his thing, you know, in the off season. You know, he took three hours a day, an hour and a half in the weight room, an hour and a half on the floor. And I'm telling you, that's just, that's what sets the standards for future people that want to be there. And, you know, and I think night in and night out, he sets what should be a competitive spirit, you know, a good competitive spirit, not necessarily a trashy one that we wouldn't be proud of here at the school. And so, you know, we keep posting about he's in his 93, 94 wins now at this point of his career with these seniors. And so that's obviously something we're extremely proud of. And assists, you know, he's over 500 assists and getting near 1,500 points. And, you know, it's just, he's been a good teammate. And wasn't always happy with his playing time early on, but he kind of worked his way in he's been good for Monterey High School, that's for sure.
Head coach of the Monterey Boys, Adam West. High School Playbook, Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive buzzing this morning. Seen a lot of folks headed to Knoxville for the big game against Kentucky. We'll have it for you here on Rock 93.7 starting at 11:30 this morning. Right now, we've got the head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, head coach Josh Hurd. The Cavaliers roster got some post help right before Christmas in the transfer of Costa Biakas. He's helped the Cavaliers on the glass on both ends of the floor, also really giving the Cavaliers a little bit of an offensive punch that they were lacking before Christmas.
No, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, because I always am. I thought we would be a little bit ahead of schedule, but we've been banged up, and we've just been able to maintain, and we're actually playing, you know, better than we have been. Last Friday night was the first time that we'd actually dressed our entire team since 1st January, so it's always a plus, and hopefully we'll start playing the best at the right time.
Has there been any progress in any area of the game that has kind of surprised you about your team this year?
Yeah, our physicality and our defense is starting to lock down a little bit. So hopefully we can continue that, because, you know, when you get to the postseason, you know, scoring's at a minimum. So hopefully our defense and our rebound and the physicality will continue to do what it's been doing.
And we're also at the point in the season now where school's back in full swing. You've got the pressure of the district race going at the same time as that. Do you feel like your players are managing all of that well?
Yeah, I mean, we're a pretty veteran group.
that's been playing for a couple different years. So they, you know, they've learned to manage down the stretch with their grade and their time management and, you know, the time that we're
putting. That's Cookeville head coach Josh Hurd. Cookeville coach Josh Hurd. Cavaliers will take on Stone Memorial Monday night. That game rescheduled from last night because of sickness.